With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all. With those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all.
Oh yeah, a little bit of Andy Williams for you. Good morning. It is indeed Christmas week, is it not? Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with my partner, buddy, friend, Big Ed Davis. We thank you for joining us. Monday, December the 21st already. This is the first day of winter. Did you know that? It's also the shortest day of the year. In fact, by the time I finish my show, it'll probably be dark outside. Anyway, we're going to be talking in a few minutes with Melissa Michella of the Simon Center for American Studies. And we're going to talk about whether pro-lifers, people that believe in, well, as opposed to pro-choicers, I guess, should refrain from taking the COVID-19 vaccine because it was taken from cell linings of aborted fetuses. Did you know that? Well, we're going to talk about all of that with Melissa. So stay tuned if you will. Also, President Trump is going to continue to plead his reelection case this week. He's filed an appeal with the Supreme Court over Pennsylvania's mail ballot law. He wants them to take a look at it. We'll get some thoughts on this and a few other things with our buddy from the barbershop, the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi. And Congress has apparently reached a deal on a new stimulus package. Is all this what our founding fathers would be proud of? All this money? You know, it's going to be over, I think it's $1.3 trillion. And we're going to talk about what's in this package and whether or not this is what our country is all about. So stay tuned for that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 symptoms of COVID-19, the things that will let you know you may have that virus. Stay tuned for that as well. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Best haircut for my money in Tampa Bay. Great price. Not open on Mondays, but Tuesdays through Saturdays they are. Got a call for an appointment, 727-733-3773. 733-3773. 73. And always, always start your day with Good Morning Clearwater, Monday through Friday here on the Tantalk Radio Network, 8 to 10 a.m. I'm sure this week they're going to be doing lots of Christmas talk. Paul and Tracy Allen, let them start off your day. They'll give you the latest in news and entertainment. Hey, by the way, they create great banners. I got one right here behind me. And posters, and flyers, and business cards. Call them, 727-330-3212. Okay. So we got this bill, apparently, that's going to be, it has to go through some hoops first, but here's the deal. Mitch McConnell, he's the majority leader, last night said they've reached a long-awaited coronavirus relief bill. They also have passed a one-day stopgap spending bill. Because they always wait till the very last moment to get spending for the upcoming year. So they run out of money, and then they got to, and the other thing is, I don't know where we're getting all of this money. If this deal is finalized, it'll be the largest spending measure, which combines COVID-19 relief with a $1.4 trillion government-wide funding plan. Now, the New York Times has called it, if you total both the stopgap bill and the COVID-19 relief bill, the Times calls it a $2.3 trillion behemoth. A behemoth of $2.3 trillion. Did you know if you put Ed, if you put $1 next to another, do you know how long it would take you to come up to $2.3 trillion?
Quicker than you cash your check every week?
I have no idea how long it takes, but I just thought I would ask that question so that we could just waste a little time with
it. You know, I'm
actually, if you put it, it would go above the moon, I think, somebody once said.
You know, we back our money with gold. We're supposed to.
No longer.
Well, you know.
No longer.
People wonder if there's enough gold. I'm wondering if we're
not
gonna,
enough gold.
I'm wondering if we're going to run out of paper to print the stuff on.
First of all, it's called a Federal Reserve note.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be called a silver certificate. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
And it was backed by gold at the time, mm-hmm. although it said silver certificate. I don't know how that worked, to be honest with you. But anyway, in the Richard Nixon's administration, we went to the Reserve, Federal Reserve. So now what we do is we actually do, you just said it right, we print money that is not backed by gold. It's not backed by any metal, any worth.
Mm.
We're doing it on a promise. It's really a promissory note, if you want to know the truth.
It's more of a promise of a promissory note than anything.
It is. And yet, around the world, it's still the most valued currency.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we continue to do this and get away with it.
And one of the most forged, too.
It is the most
they
forged.
They try so
no
hard.
No question about it.
Yeah.
So we're like $26 plus trillion in debt. $26 trillion plus in debt. And that's all you got to know about what we're doing with fiscal responsibility in this country. Don't have to go any further than that.
Obviously, nobody's balancing our checkbook anytime soon.
Can't even find our checkbook. So, you've got a couple of minutes. Here's what we're going to get out of this. The COVID-19 package includes a stimulus check of $600 for individuals. So you'll get a $600 check, Ed. Couples making up to $150,000 get $1,200, I guess $600 for each, on top of $600 for each dependent under the age of 17. You got about, 10 dependents, don't you? You don't even know where they are, but you got about 10 dependents. So that's about $1,700 right there. That's a lot of money, don't you think?
So they say.
So
it's never been proven.
I'm teasing, of course. So look forward to a $600 check. Then laid off workers get an extra $300 per week in federal unemployment for 11 weeks. They're going to get that,
mm-hmm.
Okay? Small businesses get $325 billion, that's with a B, which includes $284 billion in forgivable loans. Also, $25 billion, with a B, in rental assistance for families struggling to stay in their homes, $800 million of that set aside for Native Americans. The airlines get $45 billion, with a B, in transportation aid, including $15 billion to help airlines keep their employees on the payroll. Businesses receive money through the Paycheck Protection Program, and they'll be allowed to deduct expenses associated with those loans.
Now, the airline, is that a loan? Are they going to pay
airlines,
it back?
The airlines get aid of 45B with a billion. It just says aid.
Aid's not a loan.
No, we're throwing $45 billion at them. I think we're going to talk a little bit later about this, but I think we should be very careful about what we're doing with our money.
Well, while the wallet's up, why don't we just pay people to get vaccinated, too?
Why not just throw money out of an airplane, as far as I'm concerned, as long as we're paying them, the airplanes. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, should pro-lifers take the COVID-19 vaccine?
But baby, it's cold outside. But baby, it's cold outside. Been hoping that you drop in. I'll hold your hands, they're just like I.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network. Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting. Beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
Tune in to Old East Channel Radio every Friday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. Do you remember the 50s, 60s, and 70s? Well, we'll be playing the greatest hits as well as plenty of songs from the B-side. This show is sure to bring back memories. So pull out your record collection, adjust your antenna, and listen to Old East Channel Radio Fridays from 7 to 9 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Marshall.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Oh, the weather outside.
Okay, we are back. You know, the first day of winter, and I'm driving here to the station, and I'm thinking it's 66 degrees out here. We have it pretty good in Tampa Bay. We have to consider ourselves lucky, thinking about some of that storm that's hitting the Northeast.
Did you hear what Christmas Day is going to be?
Tell me.
We might barely make the 50s during the day.
Really?
Christmas night probably wind up in the mid-30s.
Well, I'm kind of happy to hear it, if you want to know the truth. Yeah. I like cooler weather right around then, so that's fine with me. Right now, it doesn't feel like it, but we're getting there.
Yeah.
We're getting there. Anyway, we're delighted to have Melissa Michella join us. She is a visiting fellow at the Simon Center for American Studies. She specializes in biomedical ethics and natural law. And she's done a piece about whether or not pro-lifers should be comfortable taking the COVID-19 vaccine. Melissa, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thanks. It's a pleasure to be on the show.
I am so delighted to have you on. I find that I am pro-life. We talk about the pro-life thing quite a bit here on the show. And then I read about what you are saying, and I did not know, but is it true that the vaccines have abortion tissue ingredients?
Well, so that's a complicated scientific question. So the truth of the matter is that some of the vaccines, like the Pfizer vaccine and the Moderna vaccine, the two that have currently been approved in the U.S., were developed and are produced using a cell line that was originally derived from what we think was an aborted fetus in 1972.
One?
Say that it has aborted fetal cells in it is a little bit misleading.
Oh.
Because the cell line that we have now is very, very, very far removed. It doesn't have any of the same cells, obviously, from the original aborted fetus. And it's been biologically modified significantly in order to make it into what they call a sort of immortal cell line, right? Natural cells don't continue to multiply indefinitely, but when they create a cell line, they modify things, and then it starts to multiply indefinitely.
Sure.
So what is being used to produce the cells is this kind of remote ancestor, I guess you could say, or of the original aborted fetal tissue.
Okay, so just going back to this thing, the kidney tissue of a fetus aborted in 1972, one fetus? And from the one fetus, there are actually, in some way, I guess, generational or whatever it is, generational ingredients that might have come from that, that might be just like a little bit of the vaccine? Is that what we are with right now?
So, I mean, the vaccine itself, so the way that the vaccine works is they need something to grow the virus in, right? So the vaccine, oh, okay. These vaccines are sort of the technology used to make them is they're basically very, very attenuated, slightly modified forms of the virus. And they need a kind of basis, a substrate, a cell culture to grow.
Some sort of human tissue to grow
things in. Yeah, some sort of tissue to grow that in.
Okay, now I understand.
And so, yeah, so the vaccine isn't the human tissue.
It's, no.
But the human tissue is helpful in the development and production of the, yeah. of the vaccine.
I wouldn't think hardly anybody. It doesn't bother me in the least. And I would think most people would say that. I don't see how. Has there been any sort of protest about the virus because of this?
Well, there have been a number of statements by pro-life ethicists and organizations like the Charlotte Lozier Institute or the Personhood Alliance. There have also been statements from various Catholic bishops. And, you know, some of those statements have said, well, they've said different things, right? So some of the organizations say that we shouldn't use any of these vaccines because they all... they all in some way involve the use of one of these cell lines. So I should actually correct myself. The Pfizer and Moderna vaccines are a different kind of vaccine that actually don't have the cell line used in their substrate. They're made with what's called messenger RNA. And so they actually don't use the cell line in the production. They just used it to test it. It's the Oxford AstraZeneca one that actually has attenuated virus and uses the cell line in the production.
Okay.
Sorry about that. Yeah.
No, that's all right. So
too much information out there. But
no, you know what? I appreciate respect how much you know about this.
I'm listening to you
and my jaw's dropping. I'm going, my God, this lady really knows what she's talking about.
Well, sorry for that confusion. But anyway, the point was that some of these pro-life organizations say, well, you know, because this is it's using a cell line that was originally derived from an aborted fetus. We shouldn't have anything to do with it. Others say, given that there may be no other sort of viable alternatives out there, and this is so remote from the original abortion, and given, of course, the importance of achieving herd immunity and protecting people from this virus and getting life as back to normal as possible, that there's a good reason to take it, even if it's, slightly morally compromised. I honestly think that, again, the connection is so remote. And what we know about these cell lines, so it would be one thing if we were kind of creating a demand for more fetal tissue by using these vaccines, right? That would clearly be a problem because we'd be kind of contributing to the market in aborted fetal tissue. And we certainly don't want to do that, right?
Correct.
But the nature of the kind of cell lines that are being used is that they're immortal. They perpetuate themselves basically indefinitely. So using it doesn't create demand for more. And I think that's crucial in terms of understanding the ethics of the thing. It's not like buying products that were made using slave labor or something like that, where you're buying the product is actually perpetuating the demand, right? That could be problematic. It might sometimes be justified, but there's reason to be concerned about that. In this case, you're not perpetuating demand for it at all.
Okay.
So I don't really see that there's any kind of cooperation in the moral evil of abortion that's going on with the use of any of the vaccines.
Right, right. Now, you mentioned AstraZeneca is using some of the 1972, the culture, et cetera, of that 72 tissue. However, I haven't heard much about AstraZeneca's we've heard about Pfizer, and now that's out. Moderna. What's going on with AstraZeneca's product?
I haven't heard anything else since the initial news reports, saying that it was also promising.
Yeah.
I imagine they're continuing to study it.
Yeah, they haven't approved it.
Have focused on the Pfizer and Moderna ones because they were, ever so slightly shown to be more.
Yeah.
Slightly more effective. Now, some people are worried about the Pfizer and Moderna ones because this is a new vaccine technology. that basically, you know, as opposed to the typical vaccine technology, like I said, which uses kind of attenuated virus or something in order to spark your immune reaction,
mm-hmm.
This is actually kind of bypassing that by tricking your body into thinking that there's virus there. So the way your body recognizes the virus is, in this case, the coronavirus would be by the kind of protein spikes on the outside of it.
Yes.
And that's how your body gets tipped off to this foreign thing and then decides to create, you know, antibodies. To it, the immune system response. So what the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines do is they actually contain RNA that goes then into your cells and makes your cells produce that protein, which would be on the outside of the virus. And so it makes your body think that you have the virus because it's sensing this protein.
Yeah,
you don't have any of the virus.
Yeah, you don't introduce the virus like in some of the earlier vaccines. You actually got some of the disease so that you would allow your immune systems to recognize and fight against it. And now you're saying that at least with the Pfizer and Moderna, that is not the case. Would it be the case? Do you think it would be the case with the other one, AstraZeneca?
AstraZeneca Oxford, yes.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. Now, I mean, so the thing is that we kind of, the attenuated virus model, like the AstraZeneca Oxford one, is a sort of known model of vaccine, and we know that those have some side effects and things like that, but it's kind of more of a known beast, if you will.
Yes.
Whereas some people are a little bit worried about this new mRNA technology, is we don't really know what the long-term effects on the body of this might be, because you're basically sending this, you know, messenger RNA into your own cells and getting your own cells to produce this stuff.
Yes.
And so some people worry, well, we don't really know what that's going to do to your body long-term. It doesn't seem like it has any very serious short-term effects, at least in the study populations, which, I mean, the studies have been well done, and you know, again, given the seriousness of getting this virus under control, it seems like a reasonable risk to take the vaccine.
Yeah,
I would take it if it were offered to me. But, you know, some people reasonably have some caution about that.
Sure. We're talking with Melissa Michelle. She really knows what she's talking about when it comes to the vaccine. She's a visiting fellow at the Simon Center for American Studies, and she specializes in biomedical ethics and natural law. We've been talking about whether or not, because one of the vaccines might have residue that had something to do with the host of where they developed the vaccine, that it might have had a connection to some fetal tissue. So you just answered one of the questions, Melissa, that I was just going to ask you. Would you take the vaccine? You don't have any reservations then. And then you mentioned the long-term effects. You hear scary stories about certain symptoms or whatever you want to call it. Will there be any, do you know of any, what are some of the short-term effects of taking the vaccine, other than you get maybe an immediate little fever kind of thing?
Right. I mean, in general, for most people, it's either, you know, nothing or sort of very mild. I mean, basically like having a very, very, very mild version of the illness itself, you know, a little achy, a low fever, but nothing significant, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing that kind of creates a full-blown illness or, you know, prevents you from going about life, just a kind of discomfort. Now, they say that people with certain allergies and things like that, you know, extreme kind of tendency to extreme allergic reactions and things like that, there could be a more serious kind of shock response to the vaccine, and those people shouldn't take it. But again, in the very large sample size of the tests, there have not been any very serious side effects.
So it sounds like by the middle of this coming year, will we have had most people, say in this country, will have had, if not actually taking it, have had access to being able to take it? Do you think we will be winding down this is a tough question, I'm sure, but do you think we're going to be winding down this disease by the middle of next year?
Well, I certainly hope so. It's very hard to predict, though. You know, there's still a lot of unknowns. We don't know how long vaccine immunity will last. We don't know if this is going to be like the flu vaccine, where you need to take it every year. We don't know about whether kind of mutations in the virus will lead to, you know, the need to create kind of new sort of vaccines.
Yeah, that scares
me.
Have
to, you know, create an updated flu vaccine every year and things like that. So there's just a lot that we don't know about.
Yeah. It would scare me to think that it will mutate. Like, are we not hearing that in Britain right now there's a possible mutation? Some of the other European countries are very afraid of getting it.
Yes, yeah. I mean, that's why the UK issued a last-minute travel lockdown, very dramatic, you know, people not being able to go visit relatives for Christmas and chaos in the train station and all of that. But, you know, that's because they discovered that there was a mutation that apparently makes it about 70% more contagious than the original one.
Really?
But not seemingly more serious or less responsive to the vaccine. So it seems like, as far as we know, the vaccine that we have would work just as well on this new mutation. It's just a mutation that makes it more aggressive.
Yes.
And so more contagious than, even more contagious than the original variant.
I could go on and talk with you for a long time. I wish we had more time on this, Melissa, and I hope we'll be able to talk maybe down the road again about this, because I find this whole thing fascinating. And of course, obviously so important. Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right. Melissa Michella. Golly, she knows a lot. I'd just like to sit with her and talk for a while about this whole thing. But she said she would take it, Ed. She said she would take the shot. So that's kind of interesting, knowing as much as she does about it. Okay, let us take our break. When we come back, President Trump, he's not given up. He continues to plead his re-election case, especially in Pennsylvania. We'll get some thoughts on it with the proprietor of the Barber Poll himself, Andrew Ceresi.
Okay, Alvin!
Okay!
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tantalk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up, every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Monday. And my goodness, we only have 4 days until Christmas. That's kind of, that can be exhilarating or that can be scary. It depends on whether you've finished any of your Christmas shopping. In the meantime, President Trump and his campaign team have filed an appeal with the U.S. Supreme Court, and they want to reverse several cases by the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania regarding changing the state's mail ballot law. They were running around making changes. They didn't really put it before the people there. And Trump's campaign team maintains, therefore, they are violating their own rules in their state. And also, it was a violation of Article 2 of the U.S. Constitution. So we have got not only the Master Barber, but our eye in the northern sky. So we got both of the Ceresi brothers with us. Let me start with Andrew. Andrew, President Trump continues the fight. I don't know, even if you were to win in Pennsylvania, it would not still be enough for the electoral votes to give him the presidency. So do you think he ought to continue with this, or just go back, you know, just make plans to go back to Florida after January 20th?
You know, Paul, you got to keep fighting, Paul. You know, we believe there's voter fraud. We can't let them get away with it. And I myself believe there was fraud, and 80 other million people believe there was fraud. So we need to get this cleared up, Paul, before we go any further. But they've been stealing elections for years. This has been going on. And you know what? Let me ask you one question. Everything sure. that the Democrats have accused Trump of doing, have they not done?
I think they've done more than that. I've always worried about inner city voting in every major city. I've always thought there's a fraud going on.
All right, Paul, that this needs to be dealt with, and he's taking care of it. The American people need to be protected from what's going on, and he's doing his job, Paul.
Yeah. So, Angelo, my friend, first of all, you're doing well?
Yes, I am. Very well. We're doing very well up here.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Do you think President Trump should continue this fight, or do you think it's kind of a lost cause, but do you think maybe down the road it may mean if he fights now, maybe there'll be a little bit more integrity in our election down the road?
Well, no, he has to keep fighting for us because, you know, as I was listening to Levin last night, when the Supreme Court ruled...
Mark Levin, the guy that does that show on Fox News at night, yes.
Saying, and this is true, that they have set a precedent now for all future elections, that if this, you know, that this can continue where they can start changing things at the last minute, days before, hours before. I mean, if it doesn't get fixed now, we're done. As a country for voting... Might as well just say our democracy is gone, because this is like a kangaroo election, and they owe it to the American people now. I mean, there has been so much evidence that I don't understand why these judges don't see it.
Yeah. So, do you think there's a chance that the Supreme Court may take the case up and say, yeah, Pennsylvania is violating its own rules?
Well, I don't know. I've lost faith in the American judicial system since the Supreme Court ruled that.
Yeah. Let me ask both of you this. I'm waiting for the first real press conference with Biden. I don't think he's done one yet. It's been a joke. And is this guy ever going to take some tough questions? Let me ask Angelo. Let's just assume, I know it's hard to, you know, project it when you wanted Trump to win, but if Biden does indeed become the president, is he ever going to get any tough questions what he's doing?
No. This has all been rigged from the get-go. I mean,
they're never going to settle.
It's really ruined this country and really, really ruined the integrity of our election system.
So you don't think
he's not going to get any tough questions. They're trying to hide it.
Yeah. Andrew, you know how when Donald Trump takes questions, he allows people, they shout out questions at him, and he's pointing to different people, and he takes as many questions as he possibly can, bad and good. And then you see Biden up there. He's got these little place cards in his hand. You ever notice? He's standing up there, and he's taking direction. It's like someone says, okay, we're going to only call on 7 reporters, and they're all going to be the ones we like. And so they're going to ask you really nice questions, you know. And then he's reading, he's looking at down on a card. And he says, okay, now we'll get Joe Blow from the Associated Press. I could throw a brick through the television when I see that.
Paul, let me ask you a question. Is that the type of man you want to be the president of this country?
No.
All right, then.
I don't.
You're along with 80 million people.
Yeah.
In other words, you're saying we got to keep fighting, don't you?
Yeah, I want to
see
it.
Listen, if President Trump doesn't take this, this country is down the tubes. Mm-hmm. He is fighting for the American people, and he needs to do whatever it takes to be the commander-in-chief and the president of this country to protect the American people.
Mm-hmm.
This election was fraud. The people that perpetrated it are treasonous, and they should be treated like traitors if this all comes down, Paul.
Yeah. Well, I just don't know. It doesn't look real good at this point. I mean, as much as all three of us want it. Yeah?
Oh, nothing looks really good right now. Look at the stimulus bill they passed. They give
right.
me a break. They're taking care of New York and all these other states, and they're giving the American people $600 a piece out of how many billions of dollars?
Yeah, in fact, I'm going to talk a little later in the show about this whole relief package. I don't even like the idea of the federal government picking and choosing. I think it's wrong to do it that way. I think maybe the states, you could make a better case for the governors saying, okay, here's what we got going with this virus problem here in our state. Therefore, to help out, this is what we will do. Rather than having somebody in Washington say, okay, let's see, how are we going to rearrange this? When, you know, every state's a little bit different. Angelo, are you comfortable with this this big coronavirus relief package? Do you think we should be having a federal government kind of allot money for different things like this?
No, it should just be for the taking care of the American people that need the help during this pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they made such a big deal about it. It's unbelievable, both Democrats and Republicans.
Yeah.
I mean, what's it? You got to meet for this, got to meet for that. Look, they're going to give people $600? What are these people that are going to, you know, me being retired is a lot different, okay? But you got these people that are working that have to maintain their mortgages, put food on their table and everything, and these idiots in Congress, both Democrats and Republicans, right,
mm-hmm.
can't sit down and say, okay, let's give these people without, and well, we got to change the wording of this, we got to change the wording of that. Stupidity. Idiots that are running our country.
Yeah.
And Trump is the only person that has, you know, really done what he has said he was going to do in his country. That's why, see, they don't want him in there. So this has all been a fix from the get-go to get rid of this guy. He has exposed them for what they really are. Idiot.
Right. So, Andrew, are you in favor of these stimulus payments? What about people that don't really need the $600? I know there are people that need it. There's no question about it. But the whole concept of the federal government sending out checks like this, do you like it or not?
Well, you know, I'm in business, and they had this business stimulus package going. I had people calling me at my shop. Do you need this? We can get you applied. We can get this. I said, look, I don't need it. I can get through this with no problem. Give it to the people who need it.
Mm-hmm.
That's simple.
Well, I think that's pretty good of you, and I understand why you would say that. So you do think that the federal government should run, we should run this, I mean, nobody has experienced a pandemic like this in our lifetime. So there's nobody around from 1918 that can tell us what it was like. And so we could do a do-over. It's our first time. And everybody knows that we're trying to do the right thing, hopefully. But do you agree with the whole concept of the federal government kind of taking a look at what is going on and figuring out a way to send out money like this?
No, I don't agree with it. I don't think the federal government knows what's going on with anything, Paul. I still believe this pandemic was set up to get these mail-in voting done and everything else. To me, this is a big setup.
Look at
the UK. Oh, we got another strain.
They got another strain.
We're closing down the country.
Yeah. But
the
Andrew,
people are going ballistic.
But Andrew, you would agree that, I mean, this is not, the virus is not something that was created like in a laboratory of Democrats or anything. Or is something that's not real? I mean, you agree there's really a virus out there, correct?
Well, I agree there's a virus, Paul, and I still think that China was behind it.
Yeah, I think
and
so too.
To nail the whole world along with our election. You understand?
Yeah.
Why? I mean, do I think the Democrats were behind it? I actually believe so.
You do?
See?
Angelo, you believe it?
I believe it 100%.
Okay, so what do you? How, let me ask
to
you.
This stream,
How would the Democrats create this thing, this product, concept?
Well, look, you got Feinstein, right? Senator Feinstein with her husband having business dealings out there.
Dianne Feinstein.
Yeah, Dianne Feinstein.
Senator from California, yeah.
Well, maybe just even some Republicans might have been involved in it too, the swamp, because...
Well, what would they have done? Would they have created a virus, or would they have just said we have a virus? I mean, how would they have done this?
Well, let
me ask Angelo, just because he said he does buy into this thing. That's why I'm asking. How would it be accomplished, Angelo?
Well, the way I think that they got stuff going on in this country we have never even known about. I actually believe our own government, our own people knocked off President Kennedy, just like they did this thing to get rid of.
But how would they? Okay, but how would people in the government, Democrats in particular, arrange to get this kind of virus thing going? You know how?
Through some kind of secret channels, I guess.
Okay.
You've seen like 007 in the movies and stuff like that, right?
Sure.
I mean, I'm sure that our people are desperate enough that want to take over this country.
Do you think that they could have conspired, as an example, with, say, a lab in China to...
Could have, absolutely.
Okay, now I understand. Andrew, go ahead, Andrew.
Listen, Dr. Fauci was in China, in Hunan, China, with the labs over there. Barack Obama gave them how many millions of dollars to study this virus in Hunan, China?
Okay, so...
I believe they were part of it, Paul.
They
got the old saying. Remember the old guys in the Western things that had their magic elixirs?
Yeah.
You know, the people that caused the panic also had the cure, believe me.
Okay.
I don't know.
They came up with this vaccine, you know, that I'm going to take myself anyway.
Right.
To knock this virus out.
So in your opinion, Angelo, they might have created the problem and also came up with the elixir to fix it.
I think they did, yeah. Well, it came up with Trump really pushing it.
Okay.
I mean, they have stacked the deck against this guy from day one. Every day, 24/7, they're going after him.
Well, there's no question about that.
Everything is hunky-dory that they got their person in. Everything just seems to fall in place like a puzzle that the Supreme Court wouldn't listen to this thing. I heard a rumor. I don't know. I read a rumor that Justice Roberts said, I'm not voting to start a war in this country, a civil war, that if they ruled against the sauce, against the Electoral College and everything else, and against the states, that there would be a civil war. You know, there's so much conspiracy theory. You don't know what to believe anymore. But I do know that it took a big effort, 24/7, for them to get rid of this guy. And they went to every extreme to get him removed from office.
Right. So, Andrew, kind of in summing up here, We're going into the new year with, all of this consternation. Are we going to get through it, do you think, my friend? Are we going to, is this country going to settle down, or do we just not know at this point?
You know, Paul, I think 2021 is going to be a year just like 2020. I think you're going to see a lot of chaos in this country if this isn't settled. You got 80 million people all upset over this. Over everything being stolen, I think you're going to see chaos in 2021.
Oh, boy.
Well, I'm not predicting a beautiful picture. I don't think the party's over at all.
Okay. Well, nonetheless, Angelo, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas because I will not be talking with you until after our holiday. And Andrew, you and I are going to be talking again tomorrow. And we'll be talking, I suspect, also about whether or not the Supreme Court is indeed going to be involved with... this latest attempt by the Trump administration?
Well, you know, Paul, I think the Supreme Court has been lit up as far as people being upset with them. I think that if they don't take this case, Paul, the Supreme Court could have no credibility whatsoever in this country.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, along with all the politicians in Washington, we'll have no credibility.
All right, my friends. Well, thank you so much. Appreciate talking with both of you. Merry Christmas to you, Angelo. Stay safe.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. All right. There they go. The Sorese brothers. We're going to take our break. When we come back, among other things, the top 10 symptoms of COVID-19.
Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back for the final segment here, and we were going to talk a little bit more about the COVID-19 relief package. We've discussed some of it with the stimulus checks and the small business relief, but also I wanted to mention that frontline essential workers and those 75 and older apparently will be next in line to get the vaccine, according to a new recommendation yesterday by the CDC, the Center for Disease Control. They voted 13 to 1 in favor of the recommendation, and now it goes to the director of the CDC. Once all of that are accepted, they're expected to be published in their, I guess, their report this week. So they're continuing to go along with this. The so-called Phase 1B group estimated to include about 49 million people. So there you go. All right, before we get to our top 10, and we have a good one, by the way, the top 10 symptoms of COVID-19. We had an interesting football game yesterday, Ed, between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and I guess the Atlanta Falcons. It was one more step towards the playoffs, I guess, for Tampa Bay. Tell us, did you watch any of the game?
Yeah, I almost only watched half of it because it was not worth watching the first half. Down 17 to nothing, and then after the kickoff, they scored, the Bucs scored 17-7, then Atlanta scored 24, and I thought, I don't know if they can come back from this, and when they're on, they're on. They look good when they're good. They look bad when they're bad, so.
Give me a grade for Tom Brady's quarterback performance for the Buccaneers.
Oh, I gave him an A yesterday. He threw no interceptions, two touchdowns, and almost 400 yards.
Yeah.
You know, and all that came almost in
so
the second period.
So that's good news, isn't it? That bodes well, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Most of that came in the second half.
I was watching last night, I can't remember, but late in the afternoon, there was a very good game between Kansas City Chiefs and the New Orleans Saints, because I think those two teams might indeed possibly be in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's either the Bucs and the Chiefs or it's the Saints and the Chiefs.
That's what I'm wondering.
So people are saying, yeah.
Yeah, but it's the Chiefs. I'm so impressed with that team. I'm wondering if they're the best.
Scary, and they might be that way for a while.
Yeah. All right, my friend, it is time for our top 10. I think this is a good one. It's the top 10 symptoms of COVID-19. There was a survey conducted at Indiana University's School of Medicine. And they analyzed the long-term experiences of people that have gotten COVID-19. And they wanted to find out what were the top 10 symptoms that they got. Okay, so this is what we're looking at. Here we go. Number 10. Dizziness was felt by out of the, how many people did they do this with? well over 2,000 people. Dizziness, 656 people experienced that. Headache, dizziness, vertigo, and they say it may be due to decreased oxygen levels during that period.
Let me give a bell if it's just like a normal flu.
Okay.
Okay.
There you go. Number nine. Memory problems. 714 people. Since the virus affects the nervous system, memory problems may be a lingering side effect. Okay.
I had the flu so bad one time I was hallucinating.
Really?
Yeah. Temperature was like 103. Yeah.
That's kind of scary. Yeah. Wow. Okay, number eight. Anxiety. 746 people experienced anxiety. According to a poll conducted by the American Psychiatric Association, about 36% of Americans feel the coronavirus has had a serious impact on their mental health.
Everybody freaks out before flu season. Got to go get the flu shot.
Okay. All right. Number seven. Difficulty sleeping. 780 people reported that. Lack of sleep may be due to anxiety or worry about the virus or other lingering symptoms like muscle pain or cough.
Well, a little NyQuil will take care of that.
Okay.
Or bourbon or whatever
you're
drinking.
I didn't hear your bell ring.
Whatever you're drinking this
morning.
Oh,
now it did ring. Okay. All right. Number six. Headache. Headache. 902 people. And it's estimated that headache is a symptom of the virus in about 13% of patients with the virus. All right. Number five. Inability to exercise or be active. 916 people. They said that they were still unable to exercise after recovering. Even after, and they had to wait at least 2 weeks before resuming light exercise.
Because normally with a regular flu, you lose so much weight.
That's true, and you don't feel like exercising, really, do you? I wouldn't. Number four. Difficulty concentrating or focusing. Oh, really? Yeah. This is the same with flu? 924 people. Studies conducted in Wuhan analyzed neurological conditions and found 40% of the patients experienced confusion and conscious disturbance. Number three, shortness of breath or difficulty breathing. Really, even with the flu? Okay. Mm-hmm. According to Johns Hopkins Medicine, shortness of breath, chest tight, patients with the virus may feel it without even moving. Since it's a common symptom. All right, number two. Got to go quick. Muscle or body aches. 1,048 people, we know that, and the flu is obviously big. All right, here we go. Number one.
The one that usually tips people off, you haven't said, loss of taste or smell.
It actually isn't on here. Mm. Isn't that interesting? Fatigue is number one. 1,567 people. average recovery time for a case, around 2 weeks, but 3 to 6 were severe or critical cases, but fatigue was a lingering factor. There you go, my friends. We will be back tomorrow, Tuesday. Don't forget, Freedom Works.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Yuletide carols being sung.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1.
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3.
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3.